Judgment Day came and went without a hitch. And if you're listening to this show and didn't jump off a cliff, you might be scratching your head wondering, what happened? Are we in hell? Or was Belinda Carlisle right all along? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
The doomsday prediction by Harold Camping, the San Francisco Christian fundamentalist broadcaster who blamed Armageddon on gay people, hasn't said a word yet, leaving people to wonder if he's off in a casino somewhere surrounded by hookers and cocktails.
Today, we introduce two of our favorite tranny gal pals to each other, Victoria Lamar and Tracy Tyler, for the first time. We rarely have more than one guest on at a time, but we simply couldn't resist.
Join us as Tracy takes the newly hatched tea girl, Victoria, under her wing and teaches her how to fly high and how to pick up guys in unusual places.
Plus, sadly, the state of Tennessee passes its notorious Don't Say Gay Bill, banning anyone in the public school system from even discussing any form of human sexuality except heterosexuality at a critical time in most young people's lives.
George Takei lends his name as an alternative to the word gay.
Lady Gaga and Justin Timberlake's stellar performance on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. It's not gay if it's a three-way.
Hollywood studs Channing Tatum and Alex Pettifer to appear in a stripper movie.
And Lisa Lampanelli pledges $44,000 to the gay men's health crisis. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. I guess Belinda Carlisle was right. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth, because on today's Feast of Fun, we have not just one delicious tranny, but two.
Yippee! Woo-hoo!
Tracy Tyler and Victoria Lamar survived the Armageddon, and they are here for the first time. They just met each other days ago at our live podcast, our Trans Body Politics Forum, which was really a tranny lovin'. It got a little juicy. And that's tomorrow's show. But yes, today we decided, we had so much fun with Vicky and with Tracy, that we decided to invite them over to the show. Hi, guys.
Hi.
They're ladies, Fausto.
I say guys to everybody.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Kind of, yeah, like what?
No disrespect to the feminine persuasion. Now, Victoria, you are a neophyte transgendered woman, which means that you have begun taking steps into taking estrogen supplementation, and you're becoming a transgendered woman. And Tracy, yes, is an old pro.
Am I old?
She's been taking
word.
the lady juice for a while now.
For a long time. Yes. And so let's listen. Victoria,
I crave it.
So Tracy, give us your give us your fishiest, most feminine voice so that people at home can hear that.
Go for it, girl.
Go do
it. Tracy first. Oh. So we hear Tracy.
Oh, me?
Yes.
This is my female voice. Boop, boop, de-doo.
That's your bar voice, too, isn't it? Don't you say, because you're...
Actually, no, I love it in a loud bar, because you talk up here like this, and you, like, are talking really loud. And so the higher you talk, like, the louder you talk, the higher you talk. So, but what I have learned about voice is... is that it's higher than you think it is. At least for me, like when I raise my voice up like this, and then it, and then totally relax my mouth and pull it back a little bit, to me it sounds very female, doesn't it to you, or no?
It sounds beautiful, baby.
Now, but most of the time I talk here down here like this, like, hey girl, I'm
I'd
a tranny.
Me. I'd fuck me. You're so beautiful, so powerful.
Yeah.
That is Tracy's voice. Okay,
this is my voice. This is my female voice.
Now, Victoria, give us your fishiest voice you can.
Hi, everyone.
No, but like, give us a realistic,
like,
when you're seducing
me. Pretend you're seducing me. Tell me how beautiful, how attractive.
Oh, you
I
are
am.
So sexy. You're a cutie pie.
Ooh. Yeah.
And look at those big muscles. Ooh, you've got big guns.
Yeah. You want me to flex it for you?
Big.
Show beautiful.
You have
show
a lot
powerful.
Of muscular.
Yes.
Eyes.
Oh, yes. Okay, ladies. This is a show, a family
Pecs.
Show.
Is that a wallet in your
ladies,
pocket?
Ladies, please.
Are you glad
please.
To see me?
We're just just having too much fun. We want to remind the listeners that today's show would not be possible without your support. Because of you, we are able to stay in operation and not go into podcast Armageddon.
The podcast graveyard, as it's called.
The graveyard of sad, lost, loved podcasts that are no longer with us.
El this show is the de first Radio day Gil. Of the what? Rest of our lives. This is That's the first true. Day of the rest of our lives.
And as Belinda Carlisle said, heaven is a place on earth. And maybe we were all abducted by God, Jesus, and they put us in heaven, which somehow resembles our reality as it is.
Or maybe they took the people to heaven and they left us behind, and this is actually hell.
Well, I wonder how many people do you think the rapture didn't come? They're like, oh my God, maybe I missed it, and then they committed suicide.
I have no idea.
Well, so far, no one on record has gone on record of committing suicide. But before you move on to that, let's thank the listeners.
Yeah, I'd love to. I want to give a shout out to all the people that have donated since the last time we read names on the show. Mark, who writes, love the show, guys. Hope it continues for a long time. Philip, Terrell here in Chicago. Payush in the UK. Forgive me if I mispronounced your name.
I love those UK boys.
Payush. Yeah.
Payush. Vandenberg and Mac from Hawaii, who writes, Aloha, Mark and Fausto. Hope this helps out. Wish it could be more. And then he asks, do you have a monthly donation method? It may be easier for us to give $10 to $15 per month. You are the best podcast, and I really enjoy listening. Hugs, Mac.
Well, actually, wow. You can use PayPal to automatically send your favorite podcaster, us, a donation button. Also works as a monthly subscription button. And if you need any help, we will happily set that up for you. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you so much for the donations, because we can't afford to post these two delicious, lovely ladies' voices out there on the internet.
Gotta keep the lights on, huh?
Honey, the light, we're like using candlelight right now.
You know? Made from animal fat.
It's made from estrogen.
I thought you were just trying to seduce me.
Have some more wine, darling. Drink some of that wine. So you guys survived the Armageddon.
Yay!
And people all over the country had like cocktail parties and stuff. And everyone was updating the status update saying, I'm glad that you're not taken. Mm-hmm. But Harold Camping, officially as of this taping of this podcast, has remained eerily silent. And some people are speculating, get this, that he committed suicide.
Or maybe Jesus sad? Took him away.
You know what I did today, though?
With his actions?
I laid in bed and slept all day. And, you know, I had, like, no energy. And then as soon as 6 o'clock rolled around, I had all this energy. So I think the world was sending me negativity. Like, it was all this negativity that was bogging me down. I really think that, because I just could not get out of bed today.
And then you're like, the rapture is over. I can live.
I don't know what it was, but I forced myself to get in the shower. And then once I was in the shower and then I got out.
So touching yourself and you're like, I feel all right.
And jacked off. And now I'm kidding.
Pleasured myself. Ooh. Victoria. So how was your day today, Victoria?
Oh, my day was good.
Yeah.
Took my dog out for a walk.
You have a dog.
Yeah. I have a little Doberman Pinscher. Little baby.
You're raising a Doberman.
Yeah.
That little that dog that you showed me a picture of, is it just a puppy? That will grow into a big, large Doberman Pinscher?
No. It's a miniature pincher.
Oh.
So it'll stay that size. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's like a little tweezer.
Yeah.
So you're feeding it estrogen and you're trying to...
Are you transitioning your dog, too?
Transitioning my dog.
What's his name, Vicky?
His name is Chico.
Chica.
Yeah. I wanted to name him Tinkerbell, but my roommate wanted to name him Chico, so we kind of agreed on that. Because does it not mean little person or
Chico?
Little,
small.
Chico
small,
means just
right,
tiny.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't
right,
mean
right.
You know. Also, so Chico means like a guy.
What's the guy's right. name?
So that's why we named
Los
him
Chicos.
Is he a male dog?
The guys.
He's Boys. A male dog. Yeah. He needs to be
the
fixed.
Fellas.
He has to have his cojones removed
just
or something.
Just have your roommate do it for you. Just snip, snip, and there you go.
We gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't your
Does he hump your leg?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, so he needs an orchiectomy.
He humps your arm.
Isn't your roommate, party. Charlene, a kind of a do-it-yourself trans girl, too? So, I mean, giving a dog, you know, removing the nuts off of your dog is not that far removed.
It's called bilateral orchiectomy.
Yeah, it's called orchiectomy.
Yeah, it's a partial...
We learned so much about transgender health and politics and identity at our very, very well-received live podcast forum that happened last Thursday. And we want to do a big shout-out to all the listeners, especially Derek, who's going to be hanging out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with us and Devin Green and Chris Crocker. Maybe Tracy and Victoria might be coming up, too.
I would love to come.
Well... No one's stopping you, girl.
I'm waiting for the invite.
Well, you are invited because you're self-invited. So it was a fantastic forum. And I thought really Alexandra Billings, you know, any kind of doubt, any kind of cynicism that I have for somebody who's, you know, when somebody is such a well-known name as an entertainer, as a diva, as a legend, you kind of like... Does she really earn that respect and that title? And she delivered. People, we have a fantastic... This today's show is pretty good, darn good. Tomorrow is also equally as excellent.
What was really special for me, and I know Victoria doesn't want me to bring it up, but I have to bring it up because we've talked about it so many times over the years, because Fausto used to always tease Victoria about like how much she admired Alexandra. So it was wonderful to actually see the two of you together in the same space at the same time.
It was awesome.
It was magical.
How was it hard for you not to just like push her down the stairs?
Because you and Alexandra Billings kind of grew up on the streets of Chicago together, and you know, your lives have gone different paths, but in a lot of ways you compare yourself so much to her career and you find a lot of inspiration from Alex.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
She's a little bit like, she sees you as a stalker, so she gets a little nervous around
you. She's very talented, but
I think she called you Eve Harrington.
I think I called her a mentor at the forum, right?
Yeah. You said, how do I get your job?
How do I get you? Oh, yeah, that's right. When I first met her, I said, I'd love to do what you do. And she's like, oh, well, how nice.
Here, take it all. Take everything. Here's my
Make no mistake about it. I'm doing it.
Now, interesting enough, what I've discovered is that Tracy Tyler has had a similar reverence and a type of relationship with Alexandra Billings' best friend, Honey West. So we have a parallel universe happening here, because Honey West and Alexandra Billings, for those of you who live in Chicago and are familiar with the cabaret nightclub scene, are thick as thieves is the expression. Lifelong friends. And today, the spark of a new friendship between Victoria Lamar and Tracy Tyler, which generations from now will talk about with reverence, is being born.
Yeah, so the little trans girls out there, they're going to be looking up to Vicky and I, because we're putting together our own show. It's our time, baby.
It's your time
to shine. We're going
to
take Chicago by storm.
We're taking Chicago by storm.
You guys
are
going to put an act on?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Why not?
We would love to.
What are you going to call it?
Vicky's hilarious.
We could call it... What should we call it?
I don't know.
Oh, you said something, Fausto.
Two gentlemen
How about this? Prefer blondes.
Gentlemen prefer blondes.
Yes. I like that.
But you don't want to stay a blonde, Tracy.
No. I don't know. I'm thinking of going darker.
But you could still, like, even with Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, were they all blondes in that?
No. No.
What color hair are you going to
Jane
do?
Russell was in that, right?
Brown. Yes, she had brown that's hair. Correct. She was a brunette.
She was a brunette. So you don't have to both be blonde.
No, I think we should just be the blonde.
I
want to
be
bitches.
A strawberry blonde.
Really?
You don't want to have a negative name,
no.
though.
No.
You want to have an affirmative name.
Yeah, something like uplifting.
Uplifting bitches, or like the...
Bitches on wheels.
Bitches T-girl on party. Crack. That's a negative name. You want to like uplift... Lift
T-girl
them up.
Crack.
Take your wings, take your big mama wings, Tracy Tyler, and pick up the little baby chick, Victoria Lamar, and fly up into the sky. High, high.
I need the high priestess now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I want to go back about Honey West. I grew up with, not grew up, but I moved to Chicago around the same time that she did.
Yes.
And we did a show together, and she was a boy in part of the show, and then a girl in the other half of the show. And I was just a boy. And I always admired her, and I looked at her career, and I was so...
And you wanted it.
I was so insanely jealous in my 20s of her. And my career and my life went a completely different direction than hers. But I always look at her and think, wow, you know, I'm really, I really admire the career that she has had and her talent and how she's so quick-witted and intelligent, and she's always so well-spoken and collected.
Victoria Lamar is rolling her eyes to the back of her head right now.
No, I just, she's rooting for her
Team Alexandra.
She's, because you know what it is?
Can I tell you something?
Hold on a second, because when you're really, you know, when you're really inspired by a specific individual, it's kind of like your parent or your mentor or your teacher. You have to kill, metaphorically, cut off the umbilical cord so you can be an authentic person, right, Victoria?
Absolutely.
No. And I don't think that you have cut that umbilical cord to Honey West yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I have, because I have kind of, at one time, I wanted that cabaret career, I had a lot of starts and working with some of the same pianists that she worked with, and you know, but it never like took off like hers did, and I wasn't a drag performer like she was back in the 90s. I was a male performer, and you know, I didn't start transitioning until like 6 or 7 years after my association with Honey West. So, but I've always looked up to her. One thing about her is that I would like to be her friend. I feel like, I would like to get to know her, and I think there.
You want to give her like a back rub?
No,
I know how you feel, Tracy.
Like, I would like to be closer to her.
What I want to know is you say that you were insanely jealous of her. But what do you mean by you were insanely jealous of her?
Like, I was very jealous that she was doing what I wanted to be doing. You know, I wanted to have this whole.
So you would sit there at like coffee shops or like thinking like, how do I get her career? Did you watch
no.
the bar? You're like, I'm gonna step.
I'm not vindictive or plotting or revengeful or anything.
But it is
like
interesting. And this is something that is really wasn't brought up at this forum, because it just became a runaway train of love. And we've done so many of these forums before where they didn't necessarily feel very loving in the room. And this really was a wonderful celebration of what it meant to be trans, but also a trans friend. And I just really liked the vibe in the room. And I think tomorrow you guys are really going to love that show. But one dark side of being transgendered and being LGBT in general is jealousy. And the jealousy that we have for each other. And when we see people that resemble us being successful, we want to strike them down with the wrath of God.
No, Fausto, you know what? I'm not saying that's how you do it.
But I do sense
that. You said you were insanely jealous.
How can we come together as a community if we're jealous of one another?
Well, there is a lot of jealousy in the trans community.
There is.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think
Isn't there ageism, too, as well?
Oh, there's ageism. There's a statusism, or, like as far as, like, you're a guy in a dress, and I'm a tranny with boobs, you know, whatever.
Right, exactly,
you know? But I will say that, you know, I think through maturity, you realize that, as far as the performing arts goes, is that there's enough. And I used to tell a very good friend of mine this, that was so set on like craving fame and wanting to be famous. And I used to tell her that, you know,
Saltina, your friend.
There's enough fame to go around. There's enough fame for you and for you and for you. And that was a lesson that I had to learn, that, you know, because I used to be jealous of people that would get, you know, these great parts and these great careers and stuff. And I always think to myself, well, God, I'm just as talented. I have a similar look than they do and everything. So whatever.
Do you believe you worked as hard as they did? Like,
no, I don't.
Okay.
I was very immature and very lazy.
Because like, to be famous, you have to work towards it every single day.
That is so true. That is so true. Yeah. And I didn't work as hard as they did. And I think that people that become famous when they're young, they have one thing in common I've noticed. They're very mature and old souls and very intelligent. And that's one thing that I didn't have. I was very immature.
I think you also have to have supportive people in your life, and you have to, like, a lot of people that do become famous have come from pretty supportive families. Not everybody, but a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
You can't do anything on your own.
Having money helps a lot, too.
Yeah, well,
having money,
too.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a good sense of how to hook, like Madonna did. Because let's remember that Madonna was broke, and she hoarded her way to the top, unlike Lady Rich
allegedly,
Gaga.
Allegedly.
Well, right? No, they said she slept with Jelly Bean Benitez, who produced her first album.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So yeah. There you go. You know, Borderline and Holiday was
good for her.
Sexual positions, too.
Yeah.
Atta girl.
Atta girl.
Do the Holiday again.
Do the Holiday again.
Borderline.
Holiday.
So, what do you guys think about the fact that there seems like be a frustration inside trans people that the community seems too fragmented? But I don't know if necessarily that's a one way to look at the glass half full. I think is that inside that community is so much diversity that it's almost impossible for it to come together because of the fact that there's really a lot of different ways to express your gender. You know?
Well,
no.
You know what? It is what it is, in my opinion. And, you know, it's like, because we, you know, one of the things that we did bring up in the forum was about how the trans community and the gay community are so separate and at times very vocally against each other. And you know what? It is what it is. You know, I think that we need to stop saying that we're one big family and let's like all love each other. I think we should all get along and coexist, but we have to respect each other, but we don't have to like each other. We don't.
You don't have to be friends with every person that is exactly like you.
Oh, well, that's true.
You know? Or even people that resemble you.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why our communities are so closely associated, because we're kind of like those, you know, we're the sexual outlaws, the people that are not the heteronormative couple. And so we kind of all come together because we all share that in common.
But together, we outpower them all.
Our little
remember right. That. You may be a minority. Every one of you is a tiny little stick, but bundled together, you are a mighty faggot. Look it up.
Powerful.
Well, I think that as far as the gay community and trans community goes, you know, the trans people, they they need the gay community because they don't have as many resources as the gay community has. The gay community has a lot of money and a lot of power, and the trans community doesn't have that because half of our community is living in stealth once they've finished their transition, and they don't come out back to the community and help out and stuff. So a lot of our community is trying to make do with, you know, with losing their job and all this stuff and without any money and support. And, you know, so who has time for activism when you don't have a job and you don't have resources to sustain yourself? So I think that's what our community is dealing with a lot. So they need the gay community. But the gay community, I think a lot of them think about the trans community like that we're not part of them because we consider ourselves heterosexual, or I don't know what they think. I don't know why so many gay people look down on trans people and why they don't like
but there's also, too, there's a lot of gay people that really look up to trans people and really absolutely admire them. And
I think as performers.
Well, as shamans, as leaders, I mean, to the point that it almost becomes dysfunctional. And let's remember, folks, the difference between tranny and tyranny is where you put the Y.
Yes, and don't forget it.
On your knees, kids. Let's remember, everybody, that the queen of Chicago's drag and transgender scene is Saltina Obama Vuia.
Saltina.
That's right. The internet.
Yes, she rules with one ring, and that is the ring, the Vietnamese cheap ring that she bought at Argyle and Broadway and stuff. So, Victoria, you're taking your steps into womanhood. You're finally growing up from here.
Yes. Yeah, I'm taking estrogen and testosterone blockers.
T blockers. Did you know the history of testosterone blockers? Because for this forum, they've only been in use from what I read online, and I'm maybe wrong on this, for the last 6 years. Is this right, Tracy?
No.
How long have they been in use?
Have they been in use?
They've been in use in the movie Let Me Die a Woman, which is made in the 70s. It's a documentary about transgendered women and men.
Sure.
And it's very graphic. If you are really interested in that, you can rent it or you can get it through Netflix. They show a vaginoplasty, the finished part of it. They show they show a lot of nudity to illustrate the bodies of transgendered and females and males. But they talk about testosterone blockers too. The thing about the information that you're getting is that about 6 years ago they developed finasteride, which is Propecia, and then from that they developed
also a black girl's name.
Well, from Propecia they developed Avodart, which is deuterosteride, and that's what I swear by. That's what I'm on.
So there's a lot of new medication for, especially in the last 6 years, that trans women are using.
Right.
That have really like opened up all sorts of worlds in terms of like transitioning in a way that's just like almost making it effortless.
Right. Yeah. But for years they've taken a drug, the standard chemical regime or what is the word? Prescription regime or whatever.
A treatment.
Drug regime or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Pills. The swallowing pills.
The standard.
Horse pills.
The standard treatment was spironolactone, which is a high blood pressure medicine. It's a diuretic, and that they found that suppresses testosterone in the body, and so that's what trans women have been on for years and years and years. But since the development of Propecia and deuterosteride, finasteride, and all that, it's really kind of revolutionized. And I hear a lot of girls are still on spironolactone. I'm not a medical doctor, but I think, you know, a lot of doctors are still slow to, you know, because deuterosteride and finasteride was developed for cancer.
You could
patients.
Be like a trans women's health doctor. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know line. So much.
I do know a lot about it. Yeah.
If you're a trans person, identified person, and you need help and you want to go to you can write to Tracy Tyler on Facebook and she'll hook you up.
I'll tell you what to get.
You should
girl.
Just do a phone line and be like, it's $7 a minute.
Yes. $20 a minute.
Ask me anything.
$99 each additional minute.
I don't know that much, but.
I've
been on hormones for 6 years, so I've been on a lot of different, like, we've tried to find a lot of different medical regimes.
Some of it made you kind of like go a little batshit crazy, right?
Yeah,
you were like all over the like ping pong.
There's an expression, it's like help, or no, stand. It's stand back. I'm out of estrogen and I have a gun. So, would you guys, speaking of fantastic performers and eclecticism, Lady Gaga and Justin Timberlake delivered a stellar performance on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. And of course, Lady Gaga once again charmed the pants off of me personally.
She is so talented.
On the piano, just a woman and a crazy costume, lots of metal and a voice.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was a great amazing. Performance.
What was even that
She's
song
so
that
amazing.
She sang?
I'm not sure. It was
some ballad.
It's from her new album. It was like, I'm on the Edge, and then it went into Judas.
I'm on the Edge. Yeah.
And love that new
song.
It was
so uplifting. Like, she's on the edge, but she's hanging on.
It almost sounded like gospel in a sense.
It was
very
amazing.
Kind of bluesy, right? Yeah.
Kind of bluesy, yeah.
I wish Lady Gaga, I know this is like kind of a cliche thing, and a lot of musicians, they do this late into their careers, but Lady Gaga is different in the sense that she's really a very accomplished pianist and composer, and I'd love to see just an album of hers, just one woman, one voice, and a piano.
Oh, it's coming. I'm sure it's
acoustic.
On its way.
Yeah, but I think she's going to ride this dance thing for a while.
Of course.
The dance is going
to
make
she
makes
wants
tons
to be
of
current.
Money.
The
yeah.
disco beats puts money in the pockets, baby.
I guarantee you that it's probably already been recorded. It's sitting in the vaults of RCA or whatever.
I'm sure. She's just like Michael Jackson.
She's probably going to do it when she's older. You know what I mean?
No, I want it now, man, when she's like fresh and young and fabulous.
You know? I'm waiting for her Christmas album. That's when you know that a performer's career is washed up, is when they do a Christmas album.
Or the CD is in the thrift store.
Or the CD is in the thrift store. Then you then know they're done.
The career what the world has come to needs an end. Love.
What Christmas song would Lady Gaga cover if she were to cover any of them? What would be the one?
God. The creepiest
the Christmas
one.
Tree.
Hopefully not Santa Baby, because I hate that song.
What's especially that one Christmas baby? Song we hate that you love to sing?
Which one?
Oh, holy night.
Holy night. The stars are brightly
shining.
That would be a good Lady Gaga.
That actually is a good Lady Gaga song for her. Yeah. But I'm not a big song, big fan of that.
She should do it. You know
can
what
you sing
she,
the last part, the last six notes of Oh Holy Night. Da da. How does that go?
On your knees.
Fall on your knees.
And suck that big old cock.
This is my tenor voice. Hear the angel voices. This is my pop voice. Oh, no! Demon! Oh, no! Was born.
Go on.
No,
come on. Oh, I love this shit.
It's July.
That was fabulous.
Breathe, baby, breathe. The transformation will be complete.
Mm. Ooh, hopefully, you know my favorite Christmas song. What? Well, it's not Christmas in July yet.
Well, let's talk. Wait. Let's get out. Talk.
I want Lady Gaga to sing.
Lady Gaga.
My favorite Christmas list. My grown-up Christmas list.
Oh, that is my simple Christmas wish.
Oh,
I want to be rich. Clarkson famous and that. Powerful. Step on all my enemies and never do a thing.
That's on Alex's CD.
Alexandra Billings, which you'll hear tomorrow. But so what do you guys think about Justin Timberlake's fantastic opening number?
Oh, it was amazing. He's so talented.
I know. Charming, he's Disney sexy.
What a voice. Yeah. He's got such a good voice.
Yeah.
What do you mean by Disney trained?
Well, because he was on like that Disney. He was a Mouseketeer, wasn't he?
But what do you mean by
they teach them? They teach them like you vocals, have to do it like this. They dance. Vocals, timing. Dancing, comedy. They teach him everything. And from the time that you're a kid, I mean, how old is he? Like 20, 29?
Yeah.
And he's been in the business for 20 years.
I think what Mark was pointing out when we were watching it too is that he was like, that's that Disney training. That's that Disney. It's because he's got really good slapstick sketch timing. Mm-hmm. He knows how to do that sketch timing. And a lot of the performance they bring on Saturday Night Live, it's way new to them. And they're a little bit slow in their timing and stuff.
Like, what do I do now?
Yeah. But Justin is like a pro at it.
I know.
And the way he moved as a beer bottle.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And Lady Gaga is a wine bottle with matching glasses.
What is Lady Gaga's wine bottle with the cork on her head?
I don't think she liked the hat.
It looked like it was about ready to fall off.
She looked like Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast, because she like the candle head, and she had the two glasses. It was in her hand, weird. Like it was the candlesticks.
My favorite moments when Lady Gaga's career is when her costume is about to suffocate and drown her. You know,
because you're watching her going, oh my gosh, she's so talented, but how is she moving in that costume?
It's gonna choke her.
And it was certainly a winner when I dressed up did the whole metal gyroscope thing, but I did it with aluminum foil and performed it here in Chicago. The audience was in hysterics. And so if you actually recreate a lot of Lady Gaga's costumes and show up for a performance, people are howling with laughter.
They love it.
So it shows that Lady Gaga and her fashion designers have a deep, deep appreciation for humor. And so that's why I really was looking forward to seeing her on Saturday Night Live.
But what about, though, speaking of Lady Gaga's fashion designers, did you see her on American Idol last week?
She had the penis pumps.
The penis pumps. We never talked about that.
What's the penis pump?
So she had these shoes on, and she had a Lucite acrylic transparent penises as the heels of the shoes, and they managed to air them on like the East Coast airing of American Idol. But when it aired again in the Central and West Coast times, they blurred it out.
Oh. Well, what I thought was weird was that big old black mark on her face and those. She looked like a scary monster. She really did. And
she's a monster.
I think sometimes fashion can be ugly and still be very fashionable. But that was just a little bit weird. I'm not a little bit weird. That was just a lot weird where I couldn't even stand to look at her.
What did you think of the dress made of meat?
That was kind of cool because the meat was disgusting, but her body is rockin'. And so I think the juxtapose of the gross meat on her body and then her body, like, was amazing.
And Tracy's on a no-carb diet, so it was very appealing.
It made me hungry.
Well, there's a woman who's going around, I don't know if she's trans or not, but she is making her own Lady Gaga meat dress out of slices of ham and saran wrap to keep it fresh. Ooh. And so the photo's going around. You can see it on our website, feastoffun.com, and it's quite a delicious catch.
Craziness.
Yes.
But back to Saturday Night Live, I thought the funniest one was the three-way song. That was hilarious.
Justin Timberlake
and Adam Sandberg did a song about how they were gonna get together with a girl together, and the girl that they were gonna get with turned out to be Lady Gaga.
It was, and she looked fierce in that, didn't she?
And she was, you know, true to her sort of being the shamanitrix that brings the latency in their gay audience together. The Andy Sandberg and Justin Timberlake were sort of having a bromance that went more than just a bromance into gay sex.
What was the lyrics where it's not gay if it's a three way
it's not gay. But the thing that I was really disappointed in is that we never got them kissing each other.
No.
And they could have totally done Y Tu Mama Tambien kind of scene there, you know? Did you guys see that movie?
Yeah, I did.
No.
At the end of it, this bromance that the two guys are like, you know, so intense with each other, the girl's like, I'll just leave you guys alone. You guys are going to have sex with each other. And they finally kiss each other.
Oh, wow.
And one falls in love with the other one. And the other one's like, I'm not gay, dude. And it's like a broken heart love story.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I should suggest that to the bi movie night people.
I think they would like that.
Y Tu Mama.
But it's in Spanish.
With subtitles.
Does it have subtitles? Okay. Well, I suggested that movie.
Garcia Marcal, who's just gorgeous. You know?
Well, I suggested that movie, The Wild Side. And that's a French movie, and that has subtitles. So
what is this bisexual group that you go to?
Bisexuals love subtitles.
So moving on. So it's Tracy's been hanging out with the bisexual people.
You'll come with me next time.
Sadly, the state of Tennessee, the Senate passed its notorious Don't Say Gay bill, banning anyone in the public school system from even discussing any form of human sexuality except heterosexuality.
Really?
At a critical time in most LGBT teens' lives. And when most teenagers are wondering, am I gay? Am I transgendered? You know, and banning them. In response to Tennessee's recently passed bill, the Tennessee Equality Project and the Knoxville chapter for PFLAG are sponsoring an It's Okay to Be Gay rally in a church in Knoxville that happened on Sunday. Devon Hicks, the interim chair of the Equality Project, said the rally is not about gay agendas or liberal agendas. It is simply a matter of safety. No student should feel unsafe going to school. They shouldn't have to worry about who's going to be bullying and harassing them. Our state economy has been in the tank, in the shitter for years, and this is what is so important that we have to spend our time and money on. Fuck you, state of Tennessee.
Wow. It's so crazy. It's like, what is this?
I added that last part.
It's like, is this Victorian times again with like the love that shall not speak its name? It's just, it's ridiculous.
Wait, I'm a little confused. Wait,
In Tennessee, they're trying to pass this bill. It went through the Senate about how you can't say the word gay in school to children, like, and even in high school. So you can't discuss any other type of sexuality heterosexual because they're fucking freaks.
That's going backwards.
It's totally going backwards. Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. It's
but
making somebody
rich.
Kind
of like
somewhere.
The Bible Belt out there too. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Tennessee actually, you know, the heart of the this nation's radical fairy movement is just in Woodbury, Tennessee, and there's a lot of liberal, very well-intentioned people who are living in that state who are suffering because of a hands of a of assholes.
Yeah.
But George Takei, thankfully, has come forward and offered a alternative to not saying gay is use his name instead.
What?
Let's listen.
I'm George Takei. A bill recently approved by a Tennessee Senate committee would prohibit teachers in that state from discussing homosexuality in the classroom. The so-called Don't Say Gay law is premised on the misguided belief that by not talking about gay people, they can simply make us disappear. I'm here to tell Tennessee and all LGBT youth and teachers who would be affected by this law that I am here for you. In fact, I'm lending my name to the cause. Anytime you need to say the word gay, you can simply say Takei. For example, you could safely proclaim you are a supporter of Takei marriage. If you're in a more festive mood, you can march in a Takei pride parade. Even homophobic slurs don't seem as hurtful if someone says, "That is so Takei." And around the holidays, you can sing, "Don we now are Takei apparel." Speaking of apparel, I've created a t-shirt. It's okay to be Takei. I hope you wear it proudly. We also have buttons, mouse pads, and mugs, all in time for Takei Pride Month. And all proceeds go to charity. Thank you. And as they say on the Flintstones, have a Takei old time.
It's okay to be Takei. It's okay to be Takei.
And suddenly his voice turned Takei, very monstrous. Takei.
It's okay to be Takei.com.
Sounds like the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street.
I think it's supposed to be from like Avenue Q where it's like it's okay to be gay.
Yeah.
If you were gay, it'd be okay. Transgender too, or bisexual anyway.
I have a stupid question. No. What? I was watching that. I assume that he's making that into a farce because the whole proposal
it's ridiculous. Absolutely.
Of the law is a farce. Yeah. Okay, so he's not serious. He's not really selling t-shirts and mugs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he is.
Okay, that's weird.
For donations.
It's okay to be
Takei. Well, he's selling t-shirts and mugs as a way to fundraiser to help raise funds to fight this effort.
And look at that. That's already got like 700,000 views and it was just posted just a few days ago.
When was he the gay marshal of the gay pride parade?
He was a grand marshal of our pride parade. He also was a guest, former guest on the show. And, you know, I just love anything that George Takei does. His joy, his love for people, and his love for being who he is. I mean, for somebody who was in the closet for most of their career, he's making up for lost time in a big Takei way.
Yay!
Good for him. We
love
Takei.
He is the winner of the week. Mm. And Alexander Billings, too, because there was like... Who?
Alex, Alex, Alex.
That's all we ever hear.
You know, we like Alex a lot.
Don't worry.
What about Victoria and Tracy?
Don't worry, Victoria. Victoria, Tracy, one day you guys will also be able to see Celtina Obama Bouvier be the Grand Marshal for Chicago's Gay Pride Parade.
Right.
And then you can say, I knew her when she was a nobody.
And you know what? There'll be pigs flying right behind
What about
her.
Victoria Lamar as Grand Marshal?
That's not going to happen.
Right?
Happen. That's not going to happen.
Speaking of, what a nasty thing to say. That's not going to happen.
What about Tracy?
They're abusive. It's not going to
happen. Yeah, we...
Not
because
gonna happen.
Before my...
You have to actually do something.
Yes.
Not just...
we all know, except
not just be a tranny from the suburbs.
You can't just be, like, extremely, insanely jealous.
A really
people,
good cocksucker.
Now, I think Tracy might get it just for sucking cock, because you are a one-woman, like, you know, USO.
I'll suck my way to the top.
It worked for Madonna. You just gotta
Mayor
get
Daly.
Yeah, you just gotta get.
He's not
like
our
a,
mayor anymore. Like,
he's not, so he's free.
And Rahm Emanuel.
But I hear Mayor Daly's a tranny chaser, though.
Is you never he? Heard that.
That's a rumor.
I never heard right. that in town. I never heard that amongst the girls.
I never heard that either.
I heard Jerry Springer now.
Mm. Yeah, wow. And he was mayor of Cincinnati.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, Jerry I think political Springer, leadership huh? and the attraction to having sex with somebody, you know, that you can just ditch on the side of the road is, you know, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Thoughts, discuss.
There's a lot of famous people out there that like the tranny girls.
Would you really want to be the grand marshal of a pride parade in Chicago after living here for so long?
Well, would everyone really would to? Be like, who Tracy the hell is she? Who? Who's that?
But you know, it honestly, it doesn't matter who the Grand Marshal is. There's always half the people there don't know who he is. Even when George Takei was the Grand Marshal, there was a lot of people there like, I don't know who that is. Did you ever watch Star Trek? Yeah. No, not really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, I think he was the best pick of all. Yeah. You know, Alexandra Billing was a pretty good too. But even we were like kind of going, well...
Well, it was the Chelly Wright one where people are like, I have no idea who she is. Well, she just came out last month, so.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, look, I just don't want celebrity du jour being stuck on a,
right.
on a
I agree with
car.
That.
But at the same time, if it helps bring people out and, you know, because around this time of the year, you always hear people on, the, especially on the internet, why can't we just have a normal Pride parade with everybody just showing up in normal clothes and not
whatever.
Being weird and stuff. And I'm like, man, it's like telling, you know, LGBT people to act normal during gay pride parade.
Why don't they do that for St. Patrick's Day then? Say, yeah. Why don't you have normal colored skin instead of painting it green? You know? It's right. Like, come on.
Testify. I
mean, and you think a gay pride parade is weird? Go to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
You know? Tits are popping everywhere, honey.
Exactly.
I
know.
I think we should start that at gay pride, though. Throwing people beads to show their penises.
You know what
we
it should. Is, though? I think it's a lot of people who are very uncomfortable with their sexuality. Cool. And yeah. they're just like, you know, they're uncomfortable with who they are, and so they want to transpose that into other people and say, please don't draw attention to my taste and hunger for cock.
Do you think we could actually get away with that? Like getting people to show you your tits for
how would
for
we
beads?
Start that? Just that be would like, be a great thing
you
to
want
start.
Beads? Show me your tits. Yeah. Nope, okay, I'm walking.
I would show my tits. I wouldn't show my penis.
I think they already
penis,
do
though.
That, but how, though. They do, but they do it on floats.
Out? Do they?
Yeah, it's already being done.
But I've never really seen it, except for one time I was hanging out on the corner with some friends, and we were hanging out with this trans lady. I think her name was, God, what was her name? It was like Ginger or something. And she had these big old monster titties. And then, you know that little short, heavyset woman with the crew cut shaved head who's bald.
She always just selling
and she's
stuff
selling
at gay
things.
Bars.
Yeah, she's selling stuff. So she was there, and I forget what her name. What is her name? The little. She looks like a little baby bird.
We call her Baby Bird. Baby, that sells bird. The pins.
She sells pins and stuff. So she was.
Yeah.
Looking,
she's so sweet.
She was looking at Ginger's titties, and Ginger was like, "You like my titties, huh?" And then she whipped them out and shook them in her face. Wow, that little lady pulled out her tits, lifted up her shirt. And her tits were hanging down to her knees, and like outside of her body. She scooped each one of them up and was going up and down with them. Like,
oh,
you like mine
God.
Too?
Where
and,
was this?
And Ginger was just like, what? And I was just like, I didn't see that.
That's what
I,
gay pride parade yeah. Pride parade. We dropped the gay years ago, but that's what pride parade is all about, is a celebration. Be whoever you want to be. If you can't handle the heat, stay home. Yeah. And that's okay, too. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to Pride to a Pride parade.
Go to a Go Proud meeting. You'll have more fun there.
Yeah.
What's a Go Proud
meeting?
That's
like meeting? The Republican gays. They're
oh,
like the offshoot,
Lord have
they're
mercy.
The offshoot of like Log Cabin Republicans.
Or you can just stay home and, you know, troll for sex on the internet. And that can be your Pride celebration, too. See how many dicks you can stick in your mouth.
Like most of those closeted men do, right?
Or out of the closet. You know, it's like this whole generation of people. The one thing I've noticed is that none of them notice that you can follow them on Facebook and see them trying to hook up with somebody on Facebook on their status update. Because whenever you post like a comment on someone's photo saying, hey, you're really hot, I really like you, and you just started following that person, you can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't realize that they don't look at their own profile because they're too busy looking at those other guys' profiles. And it's like,
well, you know what
hysterical.
I have a problem with Pride? I know we're a month away, but the thing
we're
is...
We're not. It's like a matter of weeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. So the thing is that... I remember back in the day, it was so fun. It was all these bars and gay establishments. Now it's like all these it's like all these people just wanting to
political.
Advertise themselves. It's like, I want to celebrate the gay community. So I want the gay bars and the gay businesses.
You don't want
the
gas company and
no,
the mayor's
I don't want the gas company.
Vice assistant, yeah.
Right. And the whatever. Like, I don't
it does
want
make it long, probably.
The radio station.
But you want their support there. You
we
do.
Want their support, but I'm not celebrating them. I'm celebrating gay people, you know? So I want to see gay people in the parade. But unfortunately, they just take whoever's money they want,
yeah.
you know? So Thank you for your support, but I don't really want to celebrate you.
Well, listen, you know, and it's like, just like this podcast isn't possible without the support of people, advertisers, and businesses.
Oh, of course.
The Pride Parade wouldn't be such a phenomenal success if it wasn't for the people who financially support it. And so I'm like, you know, put a logo on top of that rainbow, people. Bring in all the ads you want, because at the end of the day, it's how much, you know, hot guys you can take their shirts off and take their pictures.
Now, Bimar, you grew up in Lakeview. Did they have a Pride Parade in Lakeview when you were like a teenager?
When I was really young. Not that I knew of, because I was so young. I mean, I wouldn't, like, I was like 15 when I was living in that area.
Well, so you wouldn't have noticed.
So I kind of missed the Pride Parade, yeah.
Because that neighborhood's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It used to be kind of a slum.
I remember when the gay pride was very campy and all the gay bars, and you know what I mean? And now it is very political, so.
Yeah, it's almost a snooze fest for me, because it's like.
Well, and you coming in from the suburbs, you're like, where do you have to, you have to park? And then it's
honestly, since I've transitioned seriously, you know, I think the gay, unfortunately, don't hate me, listeners, but I think the gay pride parade has become less and less important to me.
That's okay, though. You know, it's like, it's not for everybody.
I love it, though. Some people, you kind of age out of it, too, I think, after a while.
I think so, too. And it's,
you know, even for us, like, you know, we used to stay to the bitter end. Uh-huh. We were swept away with the garbage. You know, if you go to our Flickr account for the old one, Feast of Fools, you can see photos of me and Mark literally swimming in garbage.
And telling people, clean this mess up. And they look at me like, nobody told me I had to clean. I'm like, you're here.
Right.
I used to go to the Pride Parade, and I used to go shopping for an outfit that was as slutty as I could get. Because remember, like, it's important to show the package that you have, you know? So I used to try to. Oh, honey, I got
this
pictures.
This is before when you were
when I
a
was
guy.
A boy. Yeah, I used to like find like a really
what
sexy.
What would make my dick big?
Yes, exactly.
Like real tight shorts.
Yeah.
Did you ever get like? I always get
or
like
loose shorts,
cute guys like coming up to me,
like,
and they're
those
like,
shorts.
"I love your show, and I think you guys are so wonderful." And they come up and they give us like kisses and hugs.
Yeah, and that's
really sweet. You know,
and that was the whole fun thing about is like who you can. Hook up with, you know, and that was before the internet, because that was before people
that
were,
was the only place you could hook up,
yeah, that was like
public,
man, yeah, if you couldn't get laid on Pride Day,
you
then you better you
laid,
should just
girl.
Wash it up, right?
Yeah. And in some ways, like, you know, the fact that we have the internet kind of takes off the sexual pressure off of the Pride Parade and makes it more of a celebration.
Yeah.
Because then you're not like, I have to get laid.
Oh, honey, they're out there with their Twitters and their brown berries or...
My BlackBerry doesn't work, though, in a big crowd like that, because everyone is like, you know, sucking up the...
They crowd you out.
Yeah. So Lisa Lampanelli has gotten herself into some financial hot water.
Who's Lisa Lampanelli?
She's a comedian.
Insult comedian.
I don't even know her.
If you listen to this show, you might have heard
her. She was a guest on Feast of Fun a couple weeks ago. She was absolutely delightful.
Yes. Is she fabulous? Yes.
She is. She's loved and well-received comedian, and she's very, very dirty. But
I love her then.
She's also has kind of this like battle between the ultra-conservative... and our friend as well, Shirley Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church. And she said for every member of the Westboro Baptist Church that showed up to protest her comedy concert, she would donate
$1,000, yes.
And so 44 members or 48
well,
members.
Well, Lisa Lampanelli is saying it's 40. She believes 44 people showed up, so she's going to donate $44,000 to the gay men's health crisis in New York City. But Megan Phelps, who's Shirley
Phelps'
daughter. Is that her daughter or
that's
niece?
Her daughter.
Okay. Who's kind of like the Twitter person for the Westboro Baptist Church.
One of the Twitter accounts.
Uh-huh. Writes, no, actually it was the Westboro Baptist Church, Twittered back to Lisa Lampanelli saying, "You're up to $48,000. Will that give a single dead fag a drop of water in hell? You can't give enough money to reverse God's curse."
What? But see, what's interesting is,
do they really believe this?
Well, this is listen the thing. To this. Yeah. We actually explained this to Lisa Lampanelli because she was very mad at Westboro Baptist Church, and she's saying they hate fags. And I said, listen, you have to pay very close attention to what they say. They do not say that they themselves hate fags. They say they try to love everybody. What they said is that God hates fags, and that's what's written in the Bible. So whatever. There's a difference.
But listen, that organization is it's like Russia. It's a riddle wrapped in a curse and an enigma.
I think that they're trying to expose the intense hatred that a lot of people use churches for.
I think unintentionally they expose the hypocrisy of the Christian church. However, there also are some real seriously bad people involved with that organization.
I think it's passive aggressiveness.
But let me explain to you. So they're now, you know, their actions are trying to up the ante of what Lisa Lampanelli is going to donate to the gay men's health crisis. Right, so if Lisa Lampanelli doesn't donate $48,000, then she's in a shithole.
I wonder if Lisa expected, she probably was eyeing the crowd saying, there's about 12 people usually show up for these things. Oh, 12. I can afford that.
And Lisa, right. You know, she's successful, but she's not Margaret Cho successful.
No, she doesn't have Margaret Cho's money.
Or
Kathy Griffin money. So you know, $48,000 is a chunk of change for her. Pretty
significant amount of money.
But if she donates it, I'm 110% supporting her if she can't cough up $48,000, because I don't know if her CD sales are doing as well as they should or not. And maybe you might want to buy one through our link on a website. I'm just saying. But seriously, like, I think it's fantastic, and I'm glad that the Westboro Baptist Church pushed her to donate more money.
Mm-hmm. You know, that whole thing about, you know, it's not me saying that I hate you. It's God saying, that's passive aggressive. That's the definition of passive aggressive.
Yes. But it is also pointing out a fact of this bullshit book that people are using. They're using this book to discriminate against other people.
What, the Bible?
Yeah, they're using the Bible to discriminate against people.
The Bible is, you know what, you can interpret it so many different ways. And that's the problem.
So is the Quran. Yeah. So is the book of I Ching.
I mean, we have to deal with the Quran so much because we're at war with some people, but...
Well, hey, you know what?
So it's the Scientology book. I mean, any kind of religious text is intentionally... It's successful because it is vague, and just like the tea leaves on the bottom of your cup can be open to interpretation by anyone and be politically used to oppress whoever suits them.
Well, here's the thing, and you know what? This is going to get a lot of people hating me that are devout Christians, but you know what? The Bible was written as a constitution of its day. You know, we need to throw that shit out and start again.
Well, it's not just a constitution. I mean, there's a lot. It's a very complicated book.
Govern people.
But it's also to govern, but also in some parts to entertain. And, you know,
Victoria, what do you think about the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say about Reverend Phelps, when I was in Florida in Fort Lauderdale in Wilton Manors, they had a theater production called Adam and Steve, and Reverend Phelps was supposed to show up, but he never showed up.
They often say they're going to show up, and then they don't.
They don't. Yeah, and we all went over there to protest, but nobody...
To protest the protesters.
Right.
To support the play.
Yeah, like, just to, like, you know, say this is wrong, or...
Well, what do you think about the Bible itself as a book, as a religious text? Victoria Lamar and the Bible.
What do I think of the Bible?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever opened the book.
You're a good little Catholic girl, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I mean, I'm like non-denominational. I never was raised like religious.
So well, I'm extremely religious and very spiritual.
Parts of your family, Victoria, serve as police officers.
Right.
And then other parts of your family do what for a living? Because we really don't know very little, but we know a lot about your mom, but the rest of your family was kind of a mystery.
Well, my sister Diane is a Chicago cop, and Maureen's just like a homemaker.
Has your sister ever, like, shot anybody?
Oh, Diane? Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
She deals with kind of, like, more, like, family and traffic and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then my cousin Joey's a psychiatrist, which comes in handy.
Can he write you some scripts?
Yeah, I can write you some scripts.
Well, because you're having a problem with your bicycle lock, and so you were like calling your sister
Your just lock going
rusted
crazy.
Your bicycle to the pole, and you can't get it off.
I can't get my bike off the pole. I went over there today with a hacksaw and a screwdriver, and the police stopped me, and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to get my bike off a pole." And they're
get yourself some of those tin snippers, those bolt cutters.
I know, but where do you get them?
But isn't your sister a cop? Doesn't she have one of those in the trunk?
I'm going to contact her and see if I can somehow.
So were you able to? You couldn't hacksaw it off.
Yeah, well, I tried to hacksaw it off, but my arm just got so tired because it's like, you know.
People do not mess with Victoria Lamar because she is with the Chicago Police Department that will fuck you up.
And she has a hacksaw.
My sister is very masculine, too. Very butch, huh?
Is she lesbian?
No, she's just, you know.
Tough woman.
She puts on that uniform and she turns into.
She's hard as nails.
That's right.
Ooh. I've had beers with Victoria and her sister and her family.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At their house on the
Jefferson
west side.
Park, yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Right.
We want to remind the listeners that today's show would not be possible without your support. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution and cough up some money, honey, because the podcast don't pay for itself.
Mm-mm.
Grab those nuts.
You know what I'm excited for? There's a new movie. It's going to come out. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh called Magic Mike. And it is going to star Channing Tatum. And the other guy is the new hot guy in Hollywood, Alex Pettyfer.
Channing Tatum?
He's a hot actor.
So behind.
I'll give you the Cliff Notes afterwards.
I'll Google him.
He was in that movie, G.I. Joe, Dear John, Step Up and Dance, The Eagle, any of these. Really hot guy.
I live under a rock.
Okay, I'll show you pictures of him afterwards.
So Channing Tatum, what was the film he's best known for?
I just listed them all. Every single film he's ever been in. Step Up, The Eagle, G.I. Joe. So all of those films he's been in. And so Alex Pettyfer, he's the new hot boy on the scene. He's been in Beastly, I Am Number Four.
Alex Pettyfer?
Pettyfer.
He's that blonde hunk who was in the movie Four. Okay. I Am Number Four.
So these are two actors. They're both very hot. Well, they're both going to be in the same movie. But the weird thing about it is Alex is going to play Channing Tatum when he was a young stripper in Florida. And Channing Tatum is going to play some other guy who's teaching him the ropes on how to strip and move for the ladies. If you go to feastoffun.com and just look for Channing Tatum, and you'll see like video of him taking off his clothes for the ladies.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Is there going to be male frontal nudity? Because I will watch a movie with male frontal nudity no matter how bad it is.
Didn't 300 have male frontal nudity?
No, I don't think I'll have frontal nudity. But Alex actually has a tattoo above his penis that people were saying it says thank you. But I think he came out and said it doesn't say thanks on it. It says Alex.
Whatever. Above the shaft?
Yeah, like in his pubic region.
I just love a guy who puts a little entertainment, you know, because when you're sucking him off, it takes a little time for him to come, and you want to look at some art, so that tramp stamp above his, you know, crotch can be nice.
So that must mean that he shaves his pubes? That is such a turnoff for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a big bush.
I think it's above
70s bush, honey, that I can push my nose into.
Speaking of which, we gotta leave you guys here. We're gonna leave you here with a song, Denise LaSalle, Bone It Like You Own It, from her album Wanted. It is hot, too hot for mainstream radio for sure. And we're gonna leave that here with you. Maybe perhaps Tracy Tyler might be lip syncing this in the future.
I'm gonna be doing this June 18th at the Hideaway.
All right, girl. So if you are a fan of Tracy's, come check her out at the Hideaway. Where is that bar?
Yeah,
where
it's the ass end of nowhere.
It's in the middle of fucking nowhere in Chicago.
It's in Forest Park.
In Forest Park, Illinois. Go check her out.
Which is farther away than Oak Park.
It's accessible by the L.
And you can, and if you have a car, you can get there. And Victoria Lamar can be found working the street corner on Argyle and Sheridan. Trying to hack her bicycle off. So,
where is your bicycle located?
It's on Belmont and Clark.
Man, that is not going to stay there for very long.
I know, because the city's going to remove it if I don't get it soon.
Well, call your sister and do it tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for coming to the show. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you for having me here.
So here it is. Bone it like you own it. I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Like you own it. Like you own it.